But she was different than the cows. Because the cows are like mothers. They just give their milk for the benefit of all human society. But Kubja, she would give all her milk, then she would turn around, stick her face in the bucket, and drink it all. So it was quite a ras we had with Kubja Devi. As soon as she would finish milking, we'd have to be fighting with her to keep the milk. She would be struggling and striving to drink that milk, and I'd just run away and she'd chase after me back into the kitchen. Tomorrow we're going to hear a very, very intensely historical story in New Vrindavan of when a gang of motorcycle people came, shot the devotees, threatened to kill them, and broke the deities. That experience so profoundly affected our lives because we felt we were responsible for the deities being broken because we didn't stop it. Now, it was 100% our conviction. If anyone stood up to stop it, they would be shot dead. It was a question of whether you're getting shot dead or whether you're going to get up to help. You're not going to stop the deities from being broken. If you try, you'll die. If you don't, the same thing will happen. So several devotees got up to actually give their lives to stop it. And one of the senior devotees cried out, "The deities have already left. Krishna's not in there. Sit down." So everything was happening so fast. But after it all happened, the whole community repented and regretted so much that we allowed that to happen to Radha Vrindavan Chandra. When we were sent up to Vrindavan, I was the head pujari. There wasn't curtains then. There were wooden doors that would open. And we would dress the deities during Srimad Bhagavatam class and Tulsi worship. So, those dacoits that attacked, they promised that they would come back and kill us all. They made that vow before they left. So any time, it was so intense, any time any sound came from the temple that just wasn't ordinary, the immediate response of the heart is, they're back. And we used to just pray with our heart and soul to Radha Vrindavana, please, whatever happens, let me die for you, but let me not leave you. This was the intense experience every day. Just praying, please let me die for you, but let me, no matter what happens, I can't leave you. I can't do that again. So one day, it was decided by the leadership of the community to test, to see how the devotees would react if those people came back. So, Param Brahma Prabhu, who was the president then, and Gosta Bihari and Soma, they were given guns. And they were standing outside the temple. And all of a sudden, somebody cried out, "They're back! They're back! Those demons are back!" And we hear shooting. And I was behind the altar and the doors were closed. So I had no idea what was going on. I just assumed they're back. And I heard all these bodies falling on the floor. What was happening is devotees were ducking down. Some were trying to climb up this chimney. And everyone else just fell to the floor, then ran out the doors. And soon I heard absolutely nothing. I heard guns shooting. I heard bodies falling, then there was complete silence. So I thought, everyone's dead. Now they're coming for the deities. So I felt I have to hide the deities. In fact, the two pujaris who were Gaur Nitai and Jagannath, when the shooting came, they just disappeared. So I was alone, and I was thinking, I have to hide the deities somewhere. So I went in the pujari room looking for a place to hide them. It was frantic. And I saw this old army blanket that was my winter coat, my bed, my everything. That was the only warm thing I had, is this old, old, tattered army blanket. So I wrapped the deities up in that old army blanket that I slept in for over a year. And I climbed to the top of a shelf, and I saw the top of the shelf was infested with cockroach stool. But I couldn't think, there was nowhere else to hide them, so I put them there. And then I just stood in front of where they were and was waiting for death to come. And Parambrahma and Ghost of Bihari walk in, smiling. And then they looked on the altar, because the doors were closed, but they looked through the side door. They said, "Where are the deities?" I said, "The demons have come." I said, "Where are the demons? What happened? How come you're still alive?" They said, "There were no demons." I said, "Well, what happened?" They were calling out. I said, "That was us saying it was a test." And they showed me the guns. They were shooting the guns. And then they remembered that before the test, they were supposed to tell the pujari. But they forgot to tell. So when I showed them where the deities were, they were weeping and I was weeping. The deity was in my dirty clothes, hiding in such an abominable place. So the message was sent down, and we got a message up that Krishna was very happy to be in that situation because he was being protected by his devotees. In 1976, Srila Prabhupada was to come to New Vrindavan. And the brahmacharis were extremely eager that he come to visit our ashram because he had never seen Radha Vrindavanath ever. In 1974 he came, but because this place was like such a jungle, he was not asked to come up. So it was our hope and our expectation in life that Prabhupada would come up here and we could serve him personally. All the brahmacharis were thinking like that. And we were trying to clean this place and making it so nice for Prabhupada to come. But just before Prabhupada came, it was from the leadership down below, it was decided that the brahmachari ashram is a jungle. We cannot bring Prabhupada to that jungle. It's too much inconvenience for him. So there's no question, he will not go up there. We were very, very heartbroken by this news. So he was giving class at Bahulaban every morning. In those days, I didn't sleep at all because I was asked to prepare Sandesh for Prabhupada 3 times a day. Plus, because I was doing the all-night kirtan, I would do the all-night kirtan, and it would come up, wake the deities, and I somehow or other convinced somebody to do the offerings, then I'd run down for his class, then come back up again. And then in the evenings, we'd go down the mountain and come up to Madhuban, where he was giving darshan. So he would give darshan in the lawn, where Sankirtan Prabhu is living. We're going to go there tomorrow. Very, very historical place for all New Vrindavan devotees. I was thinking as pujari, if Radha Vrindavanath is not going to have Prabhupada coming here to see them, then I should bring Radha Vrindavanath to Srila Prabhupada. We had one photograph of Radha Vrindavanath. In all the years the brahmacharis lived here, there was never a single photograph. There was never a single tape recording of any class or kirtan. We were so poor. But there was a devotee from England named Kula Shekhar, and he happened to come here for a short time, and he had a camera. He took one photo of Radha Vrindavanath. It was black and white, and gave it to me. It was 8x10. So I was thinking, I will go across the mountain and I will offer this photograph to Srila Prabhupada as a gift. And in this way I could, as the pujari, I could, the fulfillment of my life is Prabhupada will see the deities that I've given my life to worship. So I went across the hill, and it was raining that day. It was raining very hard. And therefore Prabhupada was not giving a darshan in the lawn. He was giving darshan in his bedroom, which was small, and only about a dozen people could fit. So there were all many, many people outside who were not allowed in. His secretary was pushed to Krishna Swami. So I was walking to try to get in, and he was stopping everybody and telling him to go back. So he stopped me. And I said, I know I'm not allowed in, but if you can just give this photograph to Srila Prabhupada for me. He said, oh, you have, let me see. So I showed him the deities. I said, you just offer it to him and say, this is Radha Vrindavanath. So he said, no, you go in and give to him. So I went in the room and offered obeisances. And Kirtanananda Swami said, this is the brahmachari, who is the pujari of the brahmachari ashram. His name is Radhanath. He's the one who makes the nice sandesh for you. Oh. So then I gave Prabhupada the photo. And Prabhupada looked at the photo and said, Radha Vrindavan Chandra? It was told to him, no, this is Radha Vrindavanath, the place at the original farm that you were in 1969. These are the deities. So Prabhupada said, I want to go there to see them.
Oh. Ayo.
So Kirtanananda Maharaj said, but we can't go by car. We have to go by truck because the road was so bad. So Prabhupada was very decisive. I want to go there. I want to see them. So the leaders were very angry at me because the whole schedule for New Vrindavan was changed around because Prabhupada saw that photo. So it was decided that the day after next morning he would come. And it was scheduled so that he came in a pickup truck with four wheels and drove up about halfway, three quarters of the way, and the rest would be his morning walk. There were many, many devotees. All the devotees from New Vrindavan, several of the buses from the Radha Damodar Traveling Sankirtan Party, they all were there. So there were well over 100 devotees following Srila Prabhupada for his morning walk. He hadn't been up here in 7 years. During the morning walk, Kalia was in the pasture. And when she saw Prabhupada, she started running. And she walked beside Prabhupada from the pasture. She ran up to him and started walking by his side. And one of the devotees was about to introduce this cow. And Srila Prabhupada said, yes, this is Kalia. She is my friend. I know Kalia. Such affection and love Prabhupada had for Krishna's cows. And there's a beautiful photograph where Prabhupada is walking and Kali is next to him and Nityodita Prabhu is fanning Prabhupada with a chamara. So this was interesting because in those days we wanted to do everything just right, especially when Prabhupada was here. So it was the tradition in every temple that Prabhupada would come from his morning walk, enter the temple, and right when he would enter, they would put on the tape of Jamuna Devi singing Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami, then the doors would open. But here, this wooden door, and I was on the altar, and I had to open the curtains, and there was this little Panasonic tape recorder in the pujari room. It was one of those really cheap ones. They cost about $20. And it was really old. It was donated. That tape recorder was a civilization of tens and thousands of cockroaches. They lived inside the tape recorder. When you'd open the tape recorder, you'd see all these cockroaches just go deeper inside, and you'd see these little legs and antennas coming out. It was a simple tape recorder. And it didn't record, it didn't work, but it played the Govindam prayers. We just had one cassette tape. So a devotee, I will not mention names, but he was assigned that as soon as Prabhupada walked in the door, he would press the tape, and I would be on the altar and I would open the doors. So it was getting later. And I came out and I said to this devotee, I said, please, please, make sure you're here. Make sure you're looking out this door. And as soon as Prabhupada comes in this door, you press the tape. He says, yes, yes, I will, I will, I will. So after some time, I heard somebody walk in the temple room. So I came running out. And there was Prabhupada right in front of the altar, all alone. No one else was there. So I offered my obeisances. Then I ran in the pujari room. The person who was supposed to press the tape was gone. So I ran in the pujari room. I pressed the tape. Then I washed my feet. Then I ran on the altar. Then I opened the doors. Then Prabhupada saw that I was the one out here. And then I ran in. And then I was here. So it was quite obvious to him that we were a very spaced out ashram. And I offered the arti. Prabhupada was standing, looking at the deities with folded palms. And after the arti, I came out and I was standing right here, looking at Srila Prabhupada, just completely fixed in a trance of love, seeing the beautiful forms of Radha Vrindavanath. He was practically unblinking, just staring at them with such love. And I was thinking in my heart at that moment, this is the perfection of my life, that Prabhupada is accepting my service. That the deities I've given my life to are now seeing their most intimate pure Vaishnava devotee, Srila Prabhupada. This is the ultimate offering that could be given to Radha Vrindavanath, is the sight of their devotee. So it was a very, very one of the highlight ecstatic experiences of my whole life. And there's a photograph of that. It's on the altar right now. At that very moment of Srila Prabhupada having darshan of Sri Sri Radha Vrindavanath. After this, there was a Guru Puja. Now, it was the tradition all over ISKCON that during Guru Puja, Prabhupada would distribute cookies to the children and to the adults also. So there was no baking facility here, but there was at Bahulaban. So they were supposed to send up cookies for Prabhupada to give out at Gurukula. When Gurukula started, I asked someone, where are the cookies? They said, we forgot the cookies. And to get them means to walk down the road 4 miles and then back up. So it was too late. So in our sentiment, we were thinking that Prabhupada has come here for the first time in 7 years. He may never come again. We have to offer him something, because he was supposed to leave immediately after class. So I got all the Mahaprasad from that morning and the day before and put them on all the silver plates and bowls of the deities and decided to offer that to Prabhupada and his Vyasa-san. So I came on this side, where the ladies are sitting now. And Prabhupada's Vyasa-san was right under that window in the center of the back of the room. In fact, we were so simple in those days that he had a red Vyasa-san and the back of it was shaped like a lotus lotus petals. And one of, it was wood, and one of them broke. One of the lotus petals was broke and was lost for months. So we were thinking that it shouldn't look like that for Prabhupada. So I got a piece of cardboard and I cut it the shape of a lotus petal, like the others, and I painted it red and taped it on. So Prabhupada sat in his Vyasasan, and I had this big, big plate of Mahaprasad on it, with all these bowls. And I was coming around, and his secretary was on his side. And he looked at me and said, "Where are the cookies? Prabhupada wants the cookies." I said, "They forgot the cookies. So I want to offer him this." He said, "No, you cannot offer this. Prabhupada only takes cookies at this time." So he was very stern. And I was just a little brahmachari. He was a sannyasi. So I went back through this door. And then I came out this door. And there was so many, the temple room was full. A devotee named Shashtivar from Radha Damodar was leading the Guru Puja. So I came through this door and everyone was dancing. And his secretary couldn't see me on this side. So I approached the Vyasasan with the plate. And his Sanskrit editor was on the other side. And he said, "Where are the cookies?" By that time I had tears in my eyes because we wanted to offer Prabhupada something. I said, "There are no cookies." He said, "Well, what is this? He doesn't take these things." I said, "Please, can I offer this to Prabhupada?" So he smiled and said, "Yes, you offer it." So I came from this side and I was then thinking, what if Prabhupada doesn't want this? When I was just inches away from him, I became very, very fearful. Maybe it's an offense offering him something that's not cookies. So I was very shy, and I kind of approached him very slowly, and he saw the plate, and he took it right out of my hands and put it on his lap. Oh. And I was holding it for him. He started eating every preparation. He would take one spoonful of each preparation, because everything was in bowls. All the bowls from all the three plates of the deities were on that one plate. It was the only thing valuable in our whole Brahmacharya ashram, was the deities had silver plates and bowls. Everything else about this place was poverty. So, Prabhupada would take one spoon of the sweet rice, then he would take his spoon and just spoon by spoon put it in each devotee's hands. All the devotees were crowding around that Vyasasan with their hands out, and Prabhupada was just giving out the spoons of sweet rice. Then when it was empty, he gave the bowl away. Then there was the sabjis. He would take one spoon and just give out spoon after spoon, and he was having so much fun just spooning out all these different, it was about 15 preparations. He was distributing it spoon by spoon to every devotee. And each time it was empty, he gave the bowl away as remnants. Hare Krishna. Then he came to the gulab jamuns. And that was a historical pastime. He bit in the gulab jamun and the gulab jamun exploded. And the juice of the gulab jamun went all over Prabhupada's mouth, and then it splashed on the devotees' faces. Devotees became ecstatic. The kirtan went insane. They were splashed by the gulab jamun juice that came directly from Srila Prabhupada's mouth. Then he gave away the rest of that gulab jamun, and then he ate a second gulab jamun, and the same thing happened. It exploded. And after he finished all the bowls, he gave the plate away to one devotee. And I was simultaneously ecstatic. The Prabhupada accepted the offering, And as he was, it took a long time to distribute this prasadam. He was just so happy. He was smiling. It was just like so much. He was like a cowherd boy having fun just distributing prasad to all the other cowherd boys. That's what it was like. His mood was so sweet and so pure and so full of ecstasy. He was just pouring his love and his mercy on each devotee in this pastime. And I was right at his side holding the plate. So I was so happy to see this. But at the same time, I was thinking, the deities don't have any plates now. And what is the president of the community and the leader of the community going to say to me now? Hare Krishna. So all the devotees, they were really, really happy because they had pure silver prasad from Srila Prabhupada's own hands. They were all putting it in their dhotis and in their saris and everything like that. So then Prabhupada gave class, gave Srimad Bhagavatam class, very, very historical class. And after that, he departed from New Vrindavan, from this farm of New Vrindavan. It was the one and only time he came here since 1969. The four-wheel drive pickup truck was waiting for him right outside the temple to bring him all the way down. So all the devotees were taking prasad up here. And I asked one very, very nice brahmachari to make an announcement that please give back the Didi's bowl. And I was astounded. Within 2 minutes, every one of the plates and the bowls of the deities was returned. Hare Krishna. That was the historical pastime of Srila Prabhupada here at the Brahmachari Ashram. So after he left, we tried to continue our service. And then Srila Prabhupada decided that he wanted to establish Shalagram Srila worship in the Western world. And he felt the best place to do it was New Vrindavan, the place of pilgrimage. So he sent with Kuladri Prabhu two beautiful Shalagram Srilas named Sudarshan and Hiranyagarbha. And it was decided that they would be sent up here for me to worship. So I was really, really against this for several reasons. One is in those days, there was these rumors that Shalagram Srila worship is so strict that if you commit any offense, you'll either die or fall down. That's what everyone was saying, at least around here. And all of a sudden, Shalagram Srila comes and I'm supposed to worship them. So I said, no, I'm not qualified. It doesn't matter if you're qualified, you do it. I said, well, when do I have time? Because no one was allowed to, according to my instructions, no one was allowed to touch Radha Vrindavanath except me for several years. So I told them that I'm only sleeping 1.5 hours. I have all-night kirtan. Then I'm doing 6 offerings, 6 artis, cooking and cows all day long. And now you want me to add Shalagram Srila worship. And they wanted it elaborate worship. So I said, I have no time. So a few days later, the temple president at that time, his name was Atmabhu, he came up with walking up a pony named Nirmama. Female pony. And I was just about to walk down. I put the deities to rest. It was dark. And he had this pony. And I said, what's this? And he said that you are being ordered to ride this pony down every night and back up. Because the time it takes to walk is about 1.5 hours round trip. If you gallop fast with this pony, you can go down in 10 minutes and up in 10 minutes. And with the time you saved, you do your Shalagram Shila worship. Because they're sending up Shalagram Shila in a couple days. I said, I never rode a horse in my life. He said, well, the first thing you do is you just sit on the saddle. I said, where's the saddle? He said, I forgot the saddle. But you don't need a saddle. He said, saddles are for grihastas. You just sit on the back of the horse, and there were reins. He said, you just go like this with the reins and say, get up, and it will go. And you say, whoa, and he will stop. That's all you have to know. So I sat on the horse, and I said, get up. This little pony started galloping full speed. It's not a smooth road. It's just mud mountain path. It just was galloping full speed. And when she was galloping, I was going way, way up in the air. And I was coming down really hard and then up and down and up and down. And I don't want to tell you about what that was like. Then, due to the... He put the reins in wrong, and the bit fell out of her mouth. And so, somehow or other, I couldn't even hold on to it. There was nothing to pull. So I just let go of them, and she just had hairs on the back of her neck about 2 inches long. So with both hands, I was holding on to those hairs, and going up and down and up and down. She galloped all the way down. I was saying, whoa, whoa, whoa. Somehow or other, I must not have pronounced it properly. Finally, we came approaching a stream of water. And when she saw that stream, she stopped instantly. When she stopped, I kept going. I literally flew over her head about 5 feet. And then I just fell in this ditch of mud. And I was black and blue and bloody and full of mud. I was just laying in a mud ditch. And she just saw me there and walked up to me. And with her hind leg, she stomped my knee. And I heard my knee crack. The bone just went. I couldn't walk. So I looked at Nirmala. I was just laying there, a bloody mess with a broken leg. And I said, Nirmala, you know, I'm a devotee. I'm just trying to do my service. I said, what am I going to do now? I can't walk. I'm in the middle of this jungle on this road. It's in the middle of the night. So she was really nice to me then. She just looked at me with such compassionate eyes, and I somehow just laid on her back. And she nicely walked to Bahuldaban. And Kuladri, Sudanu, Gargarishi, they were always waiting for me. So they saw me coming down, laying on this horse. I couldn't walk. So one of those devotees, I won't mention names, he's not with us now, but this devotee said, you have to put hot compresses on, as hot as you could stand, to bring down the swelling. So they brought this pot of water that we used to use to heat up to clean the cows before we would milk them, and one of the rags from the cows. And it was an electric hot plate, and they brought it to me. And for about an hour, I was just putting this as hot as I could bear. And every time I put a new rag on, my knee was increasing in size. Meanwhile, I was singing, because I had to sing all night. So by the time the morning came, my knee was deep purple in color, and it was gigantic. It was like almost as like my waist. And some of the devotees looked at it and said, what happened to you? And I just told them, what happened? And they said, well, you should put ice on it to reduce the swelling. I said, well, someone told me to put hot said, no, hot increases the swelling. You're supposed to put ice. Anymore. So anyways, I couldn't walk. So there was no way for me to walk up to wake the deities. So that morning, Kirtanananda Maharaj came and saw it, and saw I couldn't go back up. So he said, from today on, you will be the head pujari for Radha Vrindavan Chandra. Because I couldn't come back here. So that was the end of my days here at Vrindavan Farm. In 1979, after the opening of Srila Prabhupada's palace, they decided that all the brahmacharis should live down at Bahulaban's side so that they wouldn't have to spend so much time walking up and down the road. So in 1979, they closed this temple. And since then, from time to time, different devotees opened it for short amounts of time. Nityodita Prabhu brought the deities of Radha Murlidhar up here for a short time they were living. But more or less, this is a isolated, abandoned building. And the only time it's utilized is on parikramas or times of pilgrimage like today. This Vrindavan farm is the beginning of New Vrindavan. We see so many buildings, so many temples, so many thousands and thousands of acres. But it all began right here. Srila Prabhupada told the devotees here that you just chant Hare Krishna sincerely, live a simple life, and if you please Radha and Krishna, they will fulfill all your desires to develop New Vrindavan. New Vrindavan has been through so many ups and downs. Like the hills of West Virginia, there's mountains and valleys. That is the terrain of our history also. New Vrindavan was one of the most flourishing, dynamic temples. 700 devotees, tens and thousands of pilgrims coming every year. And it's also been in some of the lowest valleys. Of so many problems, so many attacks, so many disillusions. But it's very important for us to come back here from time to time and to understand how New Vrindavan began and to understand how in those early days various devotees really tried to surrender their lives to help Srila Prabhupada to fulfill his dream. Out of my impudence, I spoke something about some of my experiences here. But actually, if you talk to any one of the older devotees of New Vrindavan, they all have incredible stories of surrender, sacrifice, dedication, and love. Tomorrow, hopefully, we'll be hearing from several others. We have come here today because it is very enriching for our consciousness to kind of go back to the roots of what New Vrindavan was and from that perspective try to understand what New Vrindavan should be. Srila Prabhupada gave the vision. Srila Prabhupada personally lived here and by his own behavior he showed us how to live in New Vrindavan sincerely and simply. Someday, I do believe, Srila Prabhupada's vision will be fulfilled. Yeah. A wonderful, thriving community of devotees who with love and affection for one another have Radha Vrindavan Chandra, Radha Vrindavan Nath, Radha Madhava as the center of their lives. Where all selfish concerns are put aside, to serve the desire of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. New Vrindavan is meant to promote the Sankirtan movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sankirtan means where we glorify Krishna within the unity of other Vaishnavas. And it is that unity and selfless dedication to Srila Prabhupada and to Sri Radha Vrindavan Chandra that will bring the empowerment by which New Vrindavan will flourish. Simplicity means no duplicity. Simplicity means no personal ambitions. Simplicity means just an honest, sincere life for the pleasure of Krishna and the Vaishnavas and Guru. That is simple living, high thinking. When we come here, we can enter into that spirit, and we can pray for that spirit. And if we pray sincerely, Krishna will empower us all. Srila Prabhupada discussed New Vrindavan wherever he went in the world. He talks about it in his books, in Bhaktivedanta purports. In one place he says, New Vrindavan is none different than Vrindavan, our community in America, because it is a place where everyone is engaged exclusively in devotional service to Sri Krishna. There are so many tapes and letters where Prabhupada talks about New Vrindavan. In Hyderabad, India, I believe it was, he was saying, in our New Vrindavan, we have cows that have such big milk bags. The ground is wet from the milk of their bags. And when the devotees call the cows by their names, the cows come running. It's true. We didn't call them by their personal names, but we used to have a cow call. And when the cows heard that call, they would come running. If any didn't, we would have to go out with a little herding stick and get them in the pastures. Do you remember the cow call? We would just make a loud call.
Yeah.
And when the cows would hear it, they would all start running because they knew it was time to give their milk to Krishna. We also gave them special grains at that time.
Can you make that call?
How do we?
I don't remember. It's 25 years ago. Do you remember the call? Hello! That was a cow call. And the cows would hear it from a mile away. And they'd come running. But we would do it with more bhakti when we knew there were cows listening. So, Prabhupada was very proud of New Vrindavan. He considered it a very important part of his preaching. And the spirit of New Vrindavan is in Prabhupada's heart. And to the extent that we really just try to sincerely follow him and serve him, we will become most fortunate. For those of you who are living in New Vrindavan, please understand the spirit that Prabhupada established in this community. Prabhupada is the founder acharya of ISKCON. He's the founder acharya of every project, including New Vrindavan. He personally came here to found it. But what he founded is the spirit, which he called the Brijavasi spirit. In the 70s, there was a monthly publication called Brijavasi Spirit. Srila Prabhupada would very much love to read that magazine whenever it came. It was circulated all over ISKCON. New Vrindavan became such a vibrant place, 700 devotees, all full-time, 24 hours a day, eager to serve. New Vrindavan was growing and flourishing. And if we just hold Prabhupada's lotus feet on our heads and just try to be honest and sincere in our chanting of Hare Krishna, in our desire to serve, and Krishna will most definitely empower us to fulfill Prabhupada's dream, to make a place of pilgrimage where millions of people will come to find the shelter of Radha Vrindavan Chandra. That is our goal here. It's one of the very unique, special projects that was personally established by Srila Prabhupada directly. He came here four times, 1969, 1972, 1974, 1976. And at least twice a year he planned to come here. But for various reasons, everything would be arranged for his arrival and he was not able to come. Prabhupada loves New Vrindavan. For those of you who are visitors, please see this as Prabhupada's place of pilgrimage in the West. It may be very much in an unmanifested form at this time, but the potential is there. The potential is in Prabhupada's desire. This is Srila Prabhupada's offering to Radha Vrindavan Chandra. And if we can just live in harmony with his desire, the potential is his bhakti will make this place grow. So please, make New Vrindavan your home. Either your home away from home, or your home. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki Jai. Shri Radha Vrindavan Nath ki Jai. Itai Gau Premanandi
Srila Sadhanath Maharaja ki
Jai. Daya se Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Lord Hare Rama. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Gaura Hari Rao. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Everyone could look at these famous photos of Srila Prabhupada. Cabins, but this is the only one that still survived because it's better structure, better insulation, and more opulent than any other was.